Hello, grandkids, and welcome to, well, what hopefully will become a not-so-special episode of Stunt Granny Audio. This is 342. This is Kevin. On the other line is Chris. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How about yourself?
I can't argue. You know, we kind of, I kind of joked about the threesome last week. Jeremy and I at least started hatching the plan earlier today. You thought it sounded like a good idea. We're thinking of doing a feature correspondent every week to come invade the phone call of the two persons who are the hosts. This week it will be Jeremy. It is really going to be hard to avoid the major topic at hand here. Other than what?
Is it really going to be anyone other than Jeremy last week? Really?
Well, it could be Shahid. So that possibility exists. His schedule is not always cooperative. Let's say when you get
saving lives.
Yeah, when you get stuck working night shift for long spans of time, sometimes you know, it's hard for those of us that have day jobs to record during the day. But yeah, it could be Jeremy. Well, I mean, it could end up being you making the sneak phone call. Heck, maybe even I'll get to take a week off every now and again and get to be the sneak phone caller. Who knows? I do kind of like the idea, because there does seem to be at least one bigger story every week that can be touched upon. And certainly this week, Raw is but a backdrop to Daniel Bryan's retirement. Because, I guess that we can go through, you know, the day itself, because a lot of people, myself included, still had an inkling of Swerve in their system, just because, it's the
I didn't have any.
You didn't have any. Well, I think I summed it up well in the one wrestling group that we're a part of. I would have expected, a Swerve if essentially he hadn't been out of wrestling for the past 2 years. I mean, he won at WrestleMania, and then, did he wrestle at the next pay-per-view against Kane?
No, he got by Sheamus and suffered his final concussion of his career. Leave on the European tour the next week. I think that timeline.
Okay.
Because I remember him having a match with Dolph Ziggler
that was definitely something that I wrote about after the fact. Like, I just, there are some times when I'm writing that I just don't want to be typing as the action, or in this case, the speech is going on. I just don't feel like it's worth the time. It's more worth writing about later.
Yeah, I don't. That's one of the reasons I don't. I gave up my forward worry and alive with real time payback for quite a while ago.
Yeah, and it was one of those things too that that was the first time I think somebody else mentioned it that I have not complained about an overrun in well, possibly forever. That they've definitely since they've gone to the 3-hour format.
Yeah, that was quite the overrun. Really, really long overrun. Amazingly, I hope we're not too much for Jeremy to follow them, but amazingly, for that one or two, I already have my recording of Raw every week scheduled to go with me until 11:25 p.m. For that once or twice a year that they go that long.
Well, you know, it was kind of funny. You mentioned that, so I actually had extended my recording to 15 minutes after, because I was just like, you know what, it's pretty rare that they go more than 15 minutes now. 10 minutes, well, actually, isn't it still set to 11:05, I believe, the actual time slot? So I'm like, you know what, an extra 10 minutes usually does it. I don't feel like they tend to go much over the, 11:10 mark. If not, you have a little bit of wiggle room with the extra 5 minutes. I had caught up, but I was watching for my DVR, and I had a panicked moment where I'm like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, I need to get to USA. I need to get to USA to finish the rest of this speech. And my remote was not exactly cooperating with me, which did not help me out at all. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that I really missed a whole lot of anything, honestly. Because I seem to catch all the all the big spots, but I guess I'm trying to figure out where to stop now, so that we don't step on too many toes. But I guess I'll go back to you mentioning the last big match. Obviously, was at WrestleMania 30. I was more than happy that, huh?
Yeah, the ladder match that ended with him and Dolph Ziggler in a headbutt exchange that left a big breath well on Daniel Bryan's head. Looking back, that wasn't very great. Once again, we're just not thinking to talk about with Jeremy.
Well, there's just so much to talk about, like, I guess I didn't realize that it was quite a 5-year run, because it's one of those things where I don't think about the context of how long someone's been there, no matter who they are. Like John Cena, I'm not good at, I couldn't tell you when he debuted. Like, I can tell you it's been a long-ass time.
June of 2002.
So yeah, I'm kind of bad at that stuff. So I was in some ways surprised. I mean, because he did have his little get booted out of the WWE for a little while there, which was actually really fun. My friend Aaron McGuire, who works for Absolutely Intense Wrestling and worked for Prime and Pro Wrestling Ohio, he actually had Daniel Bryan strangle him by his own tie shortly after Tiegate.
That's all.
So, you know, I did think that that was a fun little side story. But I mean, I don't even feel like that was but 3 or 4 months that he was gone from the WWE before they decided to bring him back.
Yeah, I don't think it was much more than two.
So, you know, it really was a pretty crazy 5-year run. For at least some of the complaining, the guy was really featured for almost the whole time he was in the WWE. And I will be, I'd be amongst those complainers. 'Cause even when he was with Kane, he was a featured act. I mean, those guys got at least a segment every week.
Well, they got more than a segment. I mean,
well, that's why I said at least. Like, if they were going on a slow week, it was probably one.
They were doing the type of comedy that, you know, Vince just loves. So Vince just, you know, it was, well, especially what the New Day is now, is what they were doing then. It's just multiple comedy segments, you know, per show.
Right. And, kind of like, well, I was gonna say some of them hit, those ones hit far more, than most of the comedy segments that Vince enjoys.
Yeah, oh, they absolutely did. They were absolutely great together. But again, everything, just about everything he touched was able to be turned to gold. If you look back on it. I mean, well, maybe with the exception of that whole Bella's virgin vegan thing, that really wasn't sold, but we got a wife out of it, so. But yeah, Daniel Bryan also, we seem to win.
good for him. He seems very happy with that choice, too. Well, and now that we've at least recounted some of that stuff, and we're at least a decent chunk into the show, I do think that at least for a moment we can switch gears, I suppose, to actual Raw itself, and then get back to this, hopefully, when Jeremy calls in.
Yep, that sounds like a plan. I guess we should go right to the only other thing on Raw of consequence, the absolute insanity of Dean Ambrose. he was certainly the other highlight of Monday Night Raw.
I mean, they're really doing a good job of building up this, in some ways they're making him less crazy, and in other ways they're making him more crazy at the same time.
Yeah, and the focus these last 2 weeks really has been on Ambrose, Gross, and Lesnar, and with Reigns off, you know, kind of off of the side. So that's kind of interesting to me.
Well, and I guess the other interesting thing is, and it in some ways ties in, at least in my book, because it seemed to me like Bray Wyatt was going to be the one to help foil at least the Brock Lesnar part of this 3-man equation.
Yeah.
But
I still see that coming.
Huh?
I still see that coming. I mean, they're not. It's simply not going to be Triple H versus Brock Lesnar. They've already been there, done that. We've already spent a year in that world. We don't need to go back ever again.
Well, the funny thing is I can see them doing that just because they'll think it's the two biggest names that they can put on the card.
I guess anything's possible, but I mean, what they're doing right now, it seems to be making you believe that Dean Ambrose has a chance by telling you he doesn't have a chance. If you could follow that logic.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that, literally last year at WrestleMania, the Weasel came in to grab the title at the last minute. They haven't really compared Ambrose to Seth Rollins, but I mean, he conceivably could sneak out a win similar to the one that Seth Rollins did at WrestleMania.
Yeah, he absolutely could. It absolutely could be Ambrose. That is not out of the question. I'd say Roman Reigns is still the favorite, but he has been really not pushed at all in the story they're trying to tell. He has just been there. He's just... even him and Triple H haven't really had any all that much interaction in the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, I guess it'll be kind of interesting to see what does end up happening at the pay-per-view itself. I mean, I hope they don't pull any shenanigans and have Triple H try and ruin it for everybody. The old heel stunt where, hey, if nobody wins, then nobody challenges me.
there's no one to make Triple H have a triple threat match or a four-way or whatever. All the authority figures are heels. I don't see that happening. Anything's possible, but yeah, I mean, it's gonna be Roman Reigns or Dean Ambrose, most likely, and probably still being the fan. Overseas online gambler type, a bet on Ambrose probably wouldn't be too bad of an idea.
Yeah, I guess I would not bet on anything that is this kind of scripted. But hey, I guess if you feel like doing something like that, have at it. It wouldn't be that far-fetched. I mean, it's been pretty clear that, really, since the beginning of The Shield, that Dean Ambrose has been the better talker. They've taken a longer time to kind of build him up in the ring, because, I mean, he really had... what was it, the U.S. title? Right, and that really hung above his head for a while.
Yeah, he had a thing for quite a long time. I want to see he held that thing for almost a year.
it was a pretty decent chunk of time. I would say that a minimum it was like 8 months.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what exactly we wanted. God, I don't. He made it on pay per view. Otherwise, he would have been a six-man tag. I believe he kept it through the Shield's brief babyface running his evolution. At least the beginning of that, because I believe he was screwed out of the U.S. title after he ran a follow Triple H. So.
I mean, he's certainly been more visible in matches just overall. Because it was mostly Reigns and Rollins doing the wrestling when he had the U.S. title.
They were the tag team champions together, and they rarely had Dean have much of a U.S. really any real U.S. title singles feud during that time period.
Yeah, no, if Ambrose, you know, loses this match, I don't know where they go with him. Because I'd hate to see him in the main event of Fast, then all the way down, you know, to like an opening, you know, ladder match for the Intercontinental title. You know, granted, it'd be a, you know, somewhat high profile thing, even if it's the opener, but still. I'd actually like to see Ambrose the title match. I think that would be, and you can, you know, build to a Roman Reigns heel turn from there.
Yeah, I mean, people keep on hoping for something of that nature to happen.
Yeah, I mean, once again, that night, Velthea and Reigns beat Sheamus. It looked like there was a turnaround happening with people's reaction to Roman Reigns, but then, you know, it started, the boo started back again, and they started back pretty hard by the time the Royal Rumble got here. So, too hard with him being, you know, screwed heading to the Royal Rumble, especially as we're going back a couple weeks here now, but having him, you know, having him enter at number one and be put in this, and then have him taken out of the match only to come back, that was the worst thing for him, because now, you know, this, the, you know, quote-unquote smarter crowds now, you know, are going to boo him now because he didn't even have it in him to put an actual hour in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, I never begrudge anyone an Edge coffee break.
Well, that was a little more than an Edge coffee break. I
don't know. That was pretty close. Edge's coffee break was 15 to 20 minutes. And that might have gone to a half an hour, but match is also a lot longer. Than the infamous, I'm trying to think of which ladder match that was that I started using that phrase at, but it was a long ass time ago though.
Right. But yeah,
yeah.
The bottom line is, I mean, pretty much everywhere that they go, Ambrose gets the bigger pop. I don't think that's very debatable.
Right.
Everything's very interesting. I mean, I guess when they started down this triple threat road, it looked like, you know, very obvious that, you know, Roman Reigns was going to win. And now, once again, by having the announcers and you know, Heyman and Lesnar and Triple H and Stephanie and everyone say that Dean Ambrose has no chance in this match, you believe that he does. So that's good. Even if, you know, he doesn't win in the end, at least there will be drama.
Yeah. And so that's hard to argue with. I mean, they have really kind of gotten to that point because, you know, he's another one of those guys that they've kind of given him a little push and then pulled back and given him a little push and then pulled back. And even though they've given him a decent chunk of mic time over, for a while now, really, since they've all been singles, but they haven't really found a spot for him, and I think that they've kind of found more of a spot for him. And I mean, yeah. I wouldn't be bummed if he was in, you know, a ladder match type thing come WrestleMania time. But I guess I don't have the hate for Roman Reigns that a lot of people do. I don't either.
I don't get it, but whatever.
Yeah, I do agree with you. Like, it's definitely there. He was fine when he was here in Columbus, but things have not run well ever since they left Columbus.
No, they haven't. No.
And, Lesnar and Wyatt still could be a thing. I mean, it could be a little bit of a smokescreen, just because, all these different parts, well, at least with Ryback and, Big Show, being attacked by the Wyatt family. I don't feel like they've had a third person that they've really gone after to add to, you know, like a 3-on-3 match.
They beat down Kane the night after Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I could see them doing a six man, but that would just be, you know, get through Fastlane. With the exception of the main event, pretty much everything at Fastlane is, let's just get through this.
So, yeah, we shall see how this works here. With our guest correspondent.
Oh boy. Here we go.
So, and I guess I'm gonna see if there is anything else, to kind of go over, while maybe we wait for him. Oh, good lord. I did forget about that part. Which is a minor to-do. Are you any more optimistic about the Dudley heel turn than I am?
Knowing what Bubba did in TNA, I think that they're better as heels. You know, I guess heels feuding with the Usos, I guess it's fine. I don't know where you go with New Day from here. They've beaten everyone, as I said, they've beaten every team more than once. So, and the only, as in your core, the only team, if you want to call it that, left is, appears to be Goldust and R-Truth.
Yeah, I guess that's... that was more my problem with that setup, is just the fact that there isn't anyone really for them to go after they're done with the Usos. Their characters got worn out quickly.
Yeah. Bubba should probably ditch Devon, send him down to the performance center as a coach, and Let Bubba be bully as a single.
Jeremy, are you there, sir?
Well, hello, fellas.
Hello, hey. Dog shamed.
There we go. No,
there we are.
I'll put the other dog shame up instead. So, yeah, sorry about that. I got caught up watching Elisa's Biggest Loser show. And you know how I like making fun of fat people. So
yeah.
You guys talk about Daniel Bryan yet? I can't imagine there was anything else.
Well, we did touch on him a little bit and tried to veer off to save more of the material, because it was 3 hours of stuff, and then Daniel Bryan took over the entire program.
That's fair. Yeah. That's all I wanted to talk about anyway. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, he had the Dudleys turn heel. Okay.
Well, that was just the topic that we were just on, as it would so happen. You are Kreskin, my good sir.
Yes, well, they turned heel. So then Daniel Bryan comes out after that, and
and everyone forgets about it.
Yeah, that seemed like a weird thing to do. You seemingly had Mark Henry, who I can't tell if is a face or a heel anymore.
Well,
joins New Day, and then breaks up with them. Then the Dudleys turn heel. Becky Lynch still wants to help out Sasha, even though Sasha had made it clear she doesn't want to help her. I just thought maybe we should have saved this for a show where it wasn't going to get totally ignored. But I remembered it, so I mean, I guess not totally ignored. So
yeah, I mean, they had some smaller developments along the way. But having your biggest star since Stone Cold and or The Rock, whichever way you feel like arguing it, both.
We've already forgotten that John Cena existed.
I was actually going to jump on that one too.
John Cena has never had the United crowd support, in my opinion, that Daniel Bryan has had. Am I wrong in saying that? Come on, one of you can jump in. I don't care which one.
I'm starting to think about that, because it was Daniel Bryan's was such a concentrated burst, where John Cena started off as, like, you know, the heel rapper, which all the cool kids got behind. Then he became, you know, the babyface, and it was just after a while people got tired of him.
Right.
So I don't know. I think at one time he may have had the entire crowd behind him.
Well, for a time, Jeff Hardy was the most popular guy in the entire business too. So it's not.
Yeah, I am pretty bad about forgetting about Jeffrey Hardy, because he was a pretty big deal there. Even when he was part of the Hardy Boys, I think it was pretty clear that he stood out from his brother Matt.
Oh yeah. Lita had more juice than Matt did. That wasn't. No, never mind. Didn't come out the way I was supposed to. But
well, at least you didn't say she had more cream than than Matt Hardy did.
Top with her. Yeah. No, I don't know. I think the Daniel Bryan stuff was so concentrated, because I was actually watching old videos today. It was of the anger management stuff. And you forgot how goofy he was actually treated. Not treated, but like how goofy that character was with the no and him and Kane going back and forth. I mean, he was just a weird bit comedy character. I don't even remember where the tide turned to where the whole crowd wanted him to be in the main event then.
Well, it really happened. It was even before Team Hell No, because it was the night after WrestleMania when he got rocked by Sheamus in 18 seconds. You know, even The Rock had to, you know, was getting drowned out by Yes Chance, and had to, you know, turn the crowd back around, you know, to noticing him.
Oh, that's right. That was, yeah, I when you said that, I was immediately thinking of WrestleMania in Atlanta. I'm like, man, that didn't happen there, but no.
The no thing was their first attempt to try and kill off Daniel Bryan's growing popularity.
Yeah, because he started turning heel after he beat Big Show, cashing in Money in the Bank. Because then they started giving him like that little cocky little man thing, right?
Yeah, and he was picking on Big Show and Mark Henry every week. Yeah, that's
actually what he said. Yeah, that was really good. And then, so I guess that would have been the time where it started to turn then.
Yeah, that was when it started to turn. They put him in the thing with, they gave him the no shtick to turn the tide back, hooked him up with Kane. They ended up getting put in goofy segments, but they had incredible chemistry you would never have ever imagined. And, you know, Bryan had to make sure to mention that in his speech, that, you know, they ended up traveling together, and they're really close friends out of the whole deal.
Yeah, that was... those were the segments I was watching today, and I must have missed a few of those, but the trust fall one, where Daniel Bryan falls back, and then what was the black guy's name? Howard?
Yeah.
Who was like their
I think
foil?
It was Howard.
Yeah, they're like, all right, Howard, you tried or whatever, and they both just let him fall, and they just, like, look into each other's eyes, like, you understand me now. I was like, I don't remember this at all. That was really funny.
Yeah, that was easily the best, you know, comedy stuff that he's done a long time, and definitely have a top sense. So once again, I mean, everything they gave him, he knocked out of the park. That's kind of the bottom line on him.
Well,
in that area.
Do you guys remember the, what was the, it was him and Paul London. They were the something Dolphins.
Oh,
oh my God. Well, anyways, it was that sense of humor. Did you, have you guys seen the Velocity clip? I think it was Velocity.
Velocity. Oh, Jesus.
Yes. And he was on commentary with Josh Matthews, and he kept talking about wrestling bears.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I think it was from the I think it was from Saturday Morning Slam, actually. He very briefly, the WWE kids show where you couldn't even show anyone any striking blows or high impact maneuvers. Yes, and the guys had to go out there and try to have matches.
Yeah, it was so weird that Daniel Bryan just kept saying unbearable. He had a promo with a koala at one point. Like there was a goofy sense of
I did not see that at all.
That was the era where they were just the .com staff was just goofing around by having the JBL and Cole show and Bryan, and they would just do weird stuff and Bryan would attack a bear or something.
Yeah, he would attack a bear that was actually just Hornswoggle in a bear costume. And they didn't even try to hide it, because and every time he'd see him, he'd kick him in the balls. And then he'd pin him, and the bear head would fall off, and it's just clearly Hornswoggle. Well, then it turned into somehow Kane got involved. Kane sees Hornswoggle, and he goes, "Ah, a little person," and kicks Hornswoggle in the chest. And I'm like, well, I don't remember any of these bizarre... I'm like, wait a minute, this is the guy that main evented WrestleMania 30? Like, possibly the greatest WrestleMania ending, most satisfying ending? I think. I mean, unless Hogan beating Andre at WrestleMania 3.
Oh, well, it would have, for me, I would have personally gone with the Ultimate Warrior beating Hulk Hogan and having both the IC and the WWF titles as most satisfying, since I was a young warrior myself. The look of disgust on Jeremy's face is outstanding.
Hulk did everything you could possibly do to make that moment about himself.
What I meant by most satisfying was not on a personal note. I feel like an overall note. Maybe Austin beating Shawn Michaels.
Right.
So we finally got the Austin era. I think that might be another one that's up there. But I mean, the scale, that was what that was in L.A., wasn't it? No. Boston?
Boston, yeah.
Yeah, and that was a much smaller crowd than the legit 70,000 that was in New Orleans to see that. And I don't know, they're like Austin's, ascension, you knew what was going on, but like with today's more cynical nature, the whole Daniel Bryan thing, you still didn't know what they were gonna do at the end of WrestleMania 30. I mean, you were hoping
I think by that point they had to go for it.
Well, you would think yes, but you never have to do anything, I suppose. And the best part was they showed the highlights of that. They showed like the last 3 minutes of that or something. I forgot the sequence. I remember Batista tapping, but I forgot Batista gave Randy Orton the Batista bomb. And then Daniel Bryan came in and hit him. However it worked out. Oh, no. Daniel Bryan ran and hit Randy Orton. Who was going for the punt on Batista. He knees Randy Orton. Batista gets up, throws Daniel Bryan out, and as he's covering Randy Orton, he's laughing. And you can see the people in the crowd, like, legitimately concerned. Like, this isn't actually going to happen. I mean, you got to remember, that was the same event that Undertaker lost.
Right.
So
yeah, that was definitely one of the more, just between those two matches, is one of the more memorable WrestleManias. Like that, those were two huge moments at the same show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe part of it was the atmosphere. Cause we were on Bourbon Street, just walking around, and out of the blue, people just start all of Bourbon Street just start doing the yes thing. It was insane. So.
Wish I could have been there to see that, but
well, that would have been Oh, yeah, Friday was nice. Saturday was the messy day. Some of this, in this household still don't remember. So, but, yeah, I don't know. I guess that's what makes this one, this retirement, so, as fans, like, and I know we can be, like, overly critical, we're supposed to be critical, or whatever we're supposed to do, but this one kind of stinks, because it's like, he's only 34.
Yeah. And the last 2 years, he's only been active 4 months out of 24. You know, just ridiculous what this poor guy's been through in the last 2 years. And just to know that he's not getting it back.
Yeah, well, and the only one that I could kind of compare it to, but I mean, and I think Jeremy and I kind of talked about this earlier today, was Edge. But, I mean, that one was, like, you knew that he had had the major neck surgery, but it didn't seem like there was anything wrong. He went from wrestling at WrestleMania to out to, like, retired the next month. Like, that one was really shocking. But, I mean, again, he had had way more time in the WWE. And I guess that makes a difference, too. Like, because I mentioned it when I did the kind of the rewrite of the column today, that I didn't really see any of his other run. Like, I didn't see him as Bryan Danielson at all, for the most part. I mean, I know I saw some matches here and there.
When things were really, really, really bad in the mid-2000s, I did go to ROH DVDs as a source for wrestling. So, yeah, I watched a lot of Brian during that period. So yeah, I've definitely had a good.
I'm trying to think of all the ROH events we went to. Bryan Danielson, he wasn't on any of them, was he?
No, that was kind of the other odd thing. Like, he was kind of big during that time frame. Like, he should have been.
But the thing is, he was even injury prone during that period too.
That's true.
His style. I mean, people talk about the diving headbutts that he did. I think it was a lot of his issues. If he had head, neck, shoulder issues, were from that just out of control dive he did to the floor, bashing into the barrier. I think that had a lot, maybe more to do with his physical issues than
a diving headbutt. He even mentioned that last night too, how he loved doing it. I was like, but no, it's so strange, like. We, of the guys who were, internet darling, I was to say that, it's so strange that we didn't see Daniel Bryan. We've seen everybody else but Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson at the time, whatever. It's just, I was thinking about that today, like, ROH always tried to feature their main stars at the events before WrestleMania or around WrestleMania. He was never on any of them. We even got Johnny Fairplay and the Murder City, but Motor City Machine Guns, who were with TNA at the time on a show. But yet a guy who was with ROH we never saw. It's just, the first time I got to see Daniel Bryan in person was in the New Orleans Superdome. That is messed up. in the main event as well. I mean, that's a crazy accomplishment.
It really is. it really is an amazing account.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. As fans, it sucks to have the guy go away. And Kevin, you and I talked about this too. You never, like, we had the big cathartic moment where it was like everyone got that release at the end of WrestleMania 30. And then at Raw the next day, he came out, and I don't even know if this was on TV or not. But he came out, talked to the fans, thanked everybody, this and this and this. And then, what was it, a month later, he was gone?
I'm going to try it. Went through this timeline. The him and Brie got married and went on their honeymoon, and then once again the horrid string of things happening to the poor guy. His dad dies the day they get back. they do the angle where they take him out so that he could be gone for another week or two, spend time with his family, by having him take three tombstones from Kane, and one of those tombstones, the one that's neck.
Yeah, whenever you're trying to cover for somebody and how you're going about covering for him actually causes a real injury, just kind of messes up the gums. But yeah, I don't know. We didn't even get that chance to get mad at Brock Lesnar for going over him at SummerSlam, which apparently was going to be the plan anyways. Just got robbed of like the victory lap, I guess. You know.
Yeah, he got one title defense against Kane, and then it was it. He didn't get a run. He didn't get the run until SummerSlam, which I think most of us knew that, you know, he wasn't going to get the run. But even just a SummerSlam would have been
August isn't too bad.
Losing to Brock Lesnar, who himself is quite well over. I mean, you could argue that I'm leaving him out of the equation too, as far as popularity. I mean, the guy was pretty popular in his first run. I think him with his UFC run really kind of solidified his popularity within the WWE when he came back.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also being tired of Cena helps too. I'm actually, and now with, hindsight, it's actually a good thing he didn't get in there with Brock.
No, I mean, God, think back to last night. I mean, God, on a night where you should be really conscientious about, concussions and head injuries, Brock just picks up that table and just throws his arms again at Roman Reigns right in the head. Reigns barely gets his hands up,
Yeah, that was a hand splitter. He put him up, and those hands went down quick. And I just started laughing because it was like the force he threw it was so shocking. Like, calm down. My wife's son was here, and he's like, that table doesn't seem like a real table. I was like, I don't know, but it looked like that hurts regardless. I don't care. But yeah.
Yeah. It's made out of something solid. It's going to hurt.
Yes. Yeah.
It's probably a good thing that he didn't get his Brock Lesnar mat. But once again, Daniel Bryan, it shouldn't be something I even remember because it was a 5-minute match on Raw where he took on Luke Harper in the build up to WrestleMania last year in the ladder match. He just took like 4 or 5 huge bumps right on his head for no reason at all. I don't even know what got into him. And then Kevin and I were talking about the finish to the ladder match where him and Dolph Ziggler on the ladder hitting straight in those headbutts, and you could see the welt on the side of Daniel Bryan's head. Yeah. Like, what are you thinking, dude?
I don't get why you would put some. Well, this was before the concussion issue. The other part was his neck or shoulder?
I think it was his neck.
Yeah. Well, all right, so you're putting a guy with neck issues in a ladder match. It's like, hey, somebody's not thinking this through, right? And I understand he doesn't have to do any dives off the top, but then once they get in the ring and they start playing in spots, your agent or producer, whatever they're called now, they'll be like, hey, don't do that. It's like, okay, sure.
And then he goes out and does it.
Yeah, go right out and do it. So, yeah, that was just, that was odd. An odd circumstance to put somebody who has a history, who was your top, who probably coming out of WrestleMania was your top guy, and then immediately gets hurt. So when his welcome back, he had, he's got the Rumble, fights Reigns, and then gets put in a ladder match. And then he is gone a month later.
Right, yeah.
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 Two weeks later, he goes against Sheamus, and granted, probably put the blame on Sheamus, but Bryan loved those stuff. Loved having matches like that. So
yeah, I don't know. It's hard to criticize somebody for saying that they did something they loved for 15, 16 years.
Right.
When selfishly you say, well, if you would have just changed up a little bit here or there, maybe you could have gone on for another, if you wanted, 6, 7, 10 years, slow it down. But that's the fan part talking. It's like, selfishly, no. I wanted that victory lap. I wanted something after WrestleMania. Last year, the plan was supposed to be they get the Intercontinental and U.S. titles built back up. Didn't get that. And now both of those titles are meaningless again. Dang.
Well, and would his matches have gotten as much praise if he hadn't gone out is all out as much as he did?
Right. I mean,
you know, that's just a hard question to answer. You know, no matter what you say, I'm not sure that you can be wrong. Like, I think he's a good enough wrestler that maybe he could have gotten away with it with not having some high impact moves in there, but you never know because it didn't happen.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so I was poor Chris, every time you tried talking, Kevin and I were bunting over you, so just give it a pause.
I've got enough in.
Well, the other thing is, you know, again, taking the fan perspective, it sucks to lose him, but then as, like, the critical side of it, I guess it's kind of okay that he's going now so that he doesn't turn into, like, oh, God, this guy's still hanging on. Like, you know, like rock and roll's a young man's game because you see what happens when they get older. Or
it's kind of funny that this is all going on, you know, over this, you know, period because, I mean, have either of you guys watched the 30 for 30 on the 85 Bears on ESPN?
No.
Not yet.
Well, they do talk about, all the guys on the team, and they show Jim McMahon today, and he's, you know, dealing with those issues. He's got, you know, therapists. He's an occupational therapist. He sees frequently. He does puzzles up because he goes through cheap treatments to get rid of the headaches that make him want to, like he said, just makes him want to kill himself, you know. So, you know, that's if Brian can avoid that future, I think he's making the right decision for himself. And whatever that last doctor told him, obviously that put the fear into him that, you know, any thoughts he has of when his WWE contract is up, you know, getting back in the ring, it seemed to be out of his head now.
Boy, hey. you put the worm on the hook with that because there's some dummy in Nashville who I'm sure was thinking the same things, going, well, you know, that Daniel Bryan guy, he's got a history of this stuff, but I heard he wants to wrestle. And, well, no one watches us anyways. Maybe our pop TV show will get a little bit of a pop there. Probably get it, boys, a pop.
Oh, man.
Yeah, pull the DeFrango.
You just reminded me that I was running through the stations this weekend. The wife requested some awful Hallmark channel movie to be taped, and I noticed that I have Pop on.
We're not having You're not gonna sully this perfectly covered. I know I started it, but there's no reason to
tell me that. Why did you have to tell me that? We have the same cable company. Why did you have to tell me that? I haven't been a while.
But no, so as a fan, it's really nice that,
you open Pandora's box.
Yeah,
blame yourself.
Yeah, now all I want to do is goof on that. But, no, so, all right. I don't know what you guys said about last night, the actual retirement thing. But what was that, like, of retirement ceremonies, the Edge one was shocking because no one really saw it coming. Daniel Bryan had like 2 years of hell, basically. So we're like, all right, we know that we kind of thought something was going on. And then you had Ric Flair, you knew was coming because obviously he lost a match. Like, I don't know if judging retirement ceremonies is appropriate. It's not a funeral. But just overall segments, I'm trying to think of a better segment. 5 years at least on Raw than that Daniel Bryan one, because it went long and basically no gimmicks, no nothing, just let it go.
Not a single person left the building. They were in his hometown, obviously. it was just an incredible segment. Just one of the greatest, certainly one of the greatest segments of all time, without a doubt. Once again, such real emotion, and it was just him. That was the big part, except for, you know, Brie at the end, and then the network overrun stuff with the entire roster coming down and coming out and saluting him, but it was just him. It wasn't this... I mean, I know that Triple H really has an affection for Ric Flair, but Triple H being out there, you know, kind of grandstanding, I think that does maybe knock that one down a little bit.
We're talking about the Flair. You're talking about the Flair ceremony, right?
The Flair ceremony, yeah.
Okay. So I was like, wait a minute, Triple H was a grandstand last night? I was like, wait a second. Triple H, he just stands out there. I was like, no, we're just standing there. Okay, real, on a quick aside, did anybody else notice at the end of the network coverage, when Vince McMahon's walking back, all of a sudden Titus O'Neil just grabs him?
Oh.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
And
yes.
Turns around and, like, starts, like, they start laughing about something. And I'm like, wow, Titus has got some balls on him. It's like, uh-oh. I'd say someone was in for a push, but he lost to Adam Rose, so no.
He's the world's greatest dad. He's got some. He's at least got job security as their community relations guy.
Yeah, you know, hey, take your work, get your big money, and then save it, and then go and do whatever you want. But yeah, I just thought that was funny. Like of all the people, I was like, all right, maybe it was Triple H, but I was like, no, that was Titus.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if they were laughing or not. Like, I didn't go back rewatch it. But I was just like, what the hell's going on there?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Vince was clearly amused.
Yeah, it was amusing. Yeah, it was interesting to watch Vince, the smile on his face. I believe he leaned in to tell Brian, I love you. You know, once again, which is kind of goes against what you think their relationship has been over the years, but I guess everyone says that. No one doesn't like Brian. You know, I mean, Vince has always, I think, liked the guy. Just never completely saw him as his top guy.
Well, I mean, and to be frank about it, he wasn't in the plans. No matter what they want to say, like, we built a story from SummerSlam on. It's like, no, you didn't. Everything got derailed because the crowd took over and then Punk walked out on you. You had Batista come back as a face for some reason and hug his evil buddies. It's like, no, you messed up from the get-go. And the crowd's the one that helped you guide you, which is fine. At least they acknowledge it in this case. But, yeah, seeing Vince out there, I mean, I was telling Kevin earlier, he looked like a proud papa. So it's like, I don't know if he got away with one or if he was really, like that legitimately happy for him.
It seemed genuine. It seemed like a genuine moment. Whenever you're watching an arena, just completely accept what you've booked for the evening. I assume you're happy to see that. And, you're happy for Brian. And sorry, I'm just not.
No, I thought you had something more to go, so I wasn't going to go with it. I wasn't ready to start yapping.
That's all we're trying to say. No, I was trying to explain this to Kevin earlier, but it's like, it's funny in this case where Vince McMahon's stubbornness worked out for the better in two totally different ways. Like, they didn't want to have Brian as the main guy for WrestleMania 30. They were like, no. And then all these different events came up, and it was like, well, we got to go with it. Or WrestleMania 30 would have been totally hijacked. Like, they could have obviously sweetened it afterwards, but live experience, oh boy.
That would have been a complete disaster. And that original lineup was going to be a horrible show. Just horrible. If Punk had stuck around and had that match with Triple H that he didn't give a shit about, and he was just going to go through the motions, and then Brian and Sheamus, the two of them would have done everything they could to have a good match, but they would have probably only gotten about 10 minutes, maybe even less. And then
think about that card, it's like, oh.
You remember the streak being broken, you don't think about how awful that match ended up being. Of course, backed his head on the floor, 3 minutes in, but again, then you close with Randy Orton and Batista. That would have been. Oh, I can't even imagine what that would have been like.
I think if you take the Daniel Bryan part of it out, like out of the momentum or I don't know backing of that, take that out of it, it may not have been so bad. But you can't. I mean, that the circumstances around that you couldn't. But then what I was getting at was like Vince McMahon's stubbornness built that up to such a high peak that you had that. And I don't think you can actually overstate how incredible that was. I mean, you have was it a legit 70? I keep saying that, but I think
yeah, I think it fits. I think the Superdome fits 72 for a football game.
I mean, you had all the floor seats too, so.
Well, and you lose some just.
But you also with the stage set up, just eliminate entire half side of the building. So I think Meltzer said that, you know, a football game actually does seat more people because WWE just rips out the entire side of the arena.
So you get that really incredible moment there. And then Daniel Bryan repeatedly keeps saying, no, I'm coming back. No, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. All right, I want out of my contract if you won't clear me. And he goes, no, our guy won't clear you. NFL clears him. Nope. He goes to the UCLA. Was it UCLA? Nope. Or USC, whoever it was. We're not clearing you. Or we clear you. Vince is like, I'm still not clearing you. All right, go do this test. And it was like the final one, like just before you throw your hands up and go, I don't know what to do here, Vince McMahon wins out and potentially saves Daniel Bryan from possibly severe damage going forward.
So it's like Vince's
stubbornness wins out both times.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, in the end, he never said exactly what that final test said, but it obviously scared him. It really did.
Well, yeah, I mean, he Meltzer said that he was
going to have a write-up about it. I guess it'll be out this week.
Bryan had put in his own words. He said he was ready for the call. I mean, that's how far along he was, like, with the other tests. Like, I mean, he was training to wrestle again.
Mm-hmm.
I think you guys have both said it at different times here, talking about it. Like, he... whatever this last test was, put the fear of God in him, for lack of a better term.
We
also wonder. I mean, he made that point of saying, "I was like, I've got a wife, and we want to have children, whatever else. So I got to think of my family." And it makes you wonder if he doesn't have that, if we've got a different outcome.
Right. Well, if he's got no one and he ends up by his WWE contract, then yeah, he's back to high school gyms. I'm sure he would, but he's got family, he's got, I guess, what's going to happen with the two of them? I mean, the good thing for them is actually when he does knock her up, because as long as Title Divas is still a thing, they'll basically be getting paid to
be on Total Divas.
Have the cameras follow them around for her entire pregnancy and even through birth and raising this damn kid. So that might be. I don't know how long, much longer he's going to keep Total Divas running, but at least they've got that.
Yeah.
I would think, if nothing else, that ends up becoming a network show. Like, if E! Entertainment doesn't want to run that anymore.
Well, with the schlock shit they got on that station, I don't know why they cancel it.
So that show's probably going to be, Brie getting pregnant probably would actually be a big hook for the show. So I guess maybe they should go for it after they get through this little stopgap of, Charlotte versus Brie before we get to the real action, quote unquote, of the Divas division for WrestleMania. Yeah.
That was also the classic part. Like, it's as sad as that got when Daniel Bryan started talking about his father seeing him wrestle for the last time. He started talking about Connor. You know, he just started talking about how he is sad, but, you know, we're going to do this and that. When the crowd started talking about having a family and having a wife and starting a family with Brie, Brie and I, we want to start a family, and everyone starts chanting, yes, yes. And he goes, yes, that's what Brie says. I was like, what? Wait, whoa, wait a minute, pal. Did you clear that with the wife? And then they all start chanting, that's what she said. Like,
that was a good moment to have. That was a good moment. And I'm sure they've talked about having kids. And,
well, no, like, I just meant like him pulling like the macho card and be like, yeah, that's what she says or whatever. Like, you don't usually get that in a retirement speech.
Yeah, he
well, maybe it's because
he did afterward on the YouTube page. It's like you said, he wanted to add moments of levity into the speech. He didn't want it to be something sad, just for his own well-being, for his own not just bust bursting down into tears.
I mean, it does help that isn't he the only person who's actually on his first wife when he made a retirement speech?
Yes. Yeah, I've. Just, yes, because Flair was on, what, 77 at that time?
Yeah, might have been 78.
Yeah, Edge was at least in between 1 and 2.
Right. not sure that he was available to make that type of a comment at the time.
Yeah. That would just surprise me last night. I thought it was pretty funny, pretty well-timed, and I like the crowd picking up real quick and just immediately change it into that's what she said, but then knew when it was time to shut up too. So
yeah, that was an incredible crowd. I think Daniel Bryan's retirement plays well in front of just about any crowd, but no, to have it in Seattle, that put the cherry on the top of the Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty emotional. I mean, I guess, you know, there were some onions being cut in this household. So.
Yeah, I got a little misty-eyed a couple of different occasions, so I don't feel bad saying that. Because at least, and to go back to those comparisons, I mean, I think it happened with Edge, too. With Flair, it's just like, dear Lord, you just need to retire.
And you knew he didn't want to. That was the thing. Even if you're not an internet fan, which someone who follows this stuff, to the degree which we all are and we were then, yeah, you knew it. He said it in a promo, I'm never gonna retire, I want to die in the ring.
Which is I get that it's like, you know, just hyperbole, but that is some selfish shit to do to either your opponent, the referee, your company, and the fans. We're just wrestling and boom, just fall over dead. It's like, well, you know. All right, man, he did warn us. So okay. Still.
Well, what do you expect? Well, what do you expect from the guy who's always trying to get alcoholics to come out and drink with him at the hotel bar?
Sounds like a good egg to me, because that means he's buying. It's like, yep, yeah. You're right,
well,
there, champ.
Somebody's buying. High spots or ROH are buying.
All the times I've been out around here, I've never seen him. He's waiting for that day.
Well, I still.
Well, actually, I think that's actually I think he's actually been banned for life from a lot of sports bars and bars in the Charlotte area for. I think he got into a lot of screaming matches with his last wife. Got kicked out of a lot of places. I believe that's the story Meltz was saying a few years back.
I was hanging out at the breweries, so. Well, that's probably the problem. He probably doesn't drink beer.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I remember when you and I, Jeremy and I, went to Atlanta for the Royal Rumble quite a few years back with, I don't even think they were our first wives yet. I think
they're the exes now, so fuck them. Yeah, they were with us.
But Ric Flair, we stayed at the same hotel that Ric Flair was drinking down at the bar. But we went to the bar the night after he was down there.
Yep.
So yeah, we did miss him by an evening on that one occasion.
Yeah, they said that he was buying drinks for the whole bar and stuff. And we're like, are you kidding? We miss free drinks with Ric Flair, and we're hanging out with Bruce Hardy.
Bruce Hardy.
Yeah. Drinking with Ric Flair would be cool. I mean, yeah. If he's never going to grow up, Why is that on me? I'll have the experience of drinking with
them. Yes.
Oh. Guy. Yeah, that That's is on no one.
Nope.
No, outside, like, Eric and I had this conversation before. It'd be Ric Flair, JBL for sure. Who's the other guy? There was one other guy, too. Like, if we're going to go out drinking with people, those would be... Like, Steve Austin, I think, would get, like, back in those days, would have gotten real shit-faced. And, like, you just, like, miserable. Like, nah, I don't want to hang out with this guy. But...
Oh, you can say something right now, but let's let that moment pass.
Yeah, but no, yeah. Nah, but JBL, I think, would have been a fun one, but eh. Yes, I don't know. It's gonna be weird. I wanted to make a joke earlier this morning, like that was clearly a ruse. So just wait till WrestleMania when he comes out and costs Roman Reigns the title, and then you'll see it was all just fake. But. Which would be outstanding. Like, he would get the biggest pop of the night, but...
yeah, people wouldn't even be pissed about that one, I don't think. But I do not think that that's in the cards. Because Chris and I did start the whole show by talking about whether, you know, people were still a little skeptical of whether this was an actual retirement or if it was a swerve.
Because with him, my thinking was, when he made the announcement earlier in the day, and they, either the mainstream media picked up on it, or they used all their contacts within mainstream media, you know, to get the story going, because now everyone's, because in this more than 24/7, you know, news cycle, every you know, pop culture and sports website and outlet has some sort of a wrestling guy now, so you know the stories, you know, a varying quality. Let's just say that. but when the story gets goes that viral, when you're playing with you know your media partners and friends, especially ESPN.
Oh, what did I just? Who did I just lose here?
I'm still here, but I can't see you guys anymore.
Oh, okay.
I have Chris's. Is that a Doctor Who picture?
Yes, that's it. Yes, it is.
Very slick. I looked away and looked back, and I was like, well, someone's looking dapper all of a sudden.
Oh.
Kevin is now just the Skype white guy with blue background.
Yeah, I've been too lazy to even put up a picture on Skype. Okay, well, I'm glad I didn't lose anything, and I definitely did not lose any of the recording, which is really of the most importance.
Yes, videos there, but, so I don't know, that was all I wanted to say, so I'll let you guys get back to the show, and This is something new we're going to try.
Well, there is no show. We're all going out at the same time here.
Oh, okay.
Because this one is, much like Daniel Bryan's speech, has gone way over budget in the time department.
This is totally off the Daniel Bryan part. Did you guys see Cameron Hawkins get in a Twitter fight with Sunny today?
Oh, yes.
I literally stepped away from Twitter for like an hour today, and then I see it on Facebook first. I'm like, what the hell did I miss?
He posted something on Facebook about it. I'm like, okay, what is this? And I'm like, oh, it's just Cam being a troll. Okay, it's funny. I didn't realize it kept going, and then he called her out about peeing on camera. And she denied it, and he just busted her right back. And then he started trolling other people, or they started responding to him, and he started responding back. And the whole reason I'm bringing this up is some guy actually was at mentioning both him and Sonny, saying, hey, Sonny, this guy just has hate in his heart. Don't listen to his words. And then something else. And then the guy, Camson's son, sends something back. The guy cuts back on, don't worry about this, Sonny. Just pray for him. Make sure Jesus gets into his heart. And I'm thinking, you're talking to a chick that just did anal on camera for money. On camera. Pam's doing is talking shit. You need to pray for her, dummy. In your dummy logic, she's the one that needs the prayers. She's the one, if depending on your train of thought, is degrading herself, getting rammed in the ass for everyone else's enjoyment. Like, what are you talking about? But Cam's a big boy, so I figure I didn't need to interject with that sort of, you know, logic. But I just think it's funny how people can pick a fight, and if somebody else can jump in with even more illogical responses.
That are even more illogical than the ones that the person being picked on is coming up with.
Yeah.
Sonny's Amazon wishlist army.
I didn't even know she had a book. See, what I wanted to do was actually call in on this, and then I wanted to have Sonny's porno playing in the background, so it was hard to hear me, but then I realized I'd have to pay for it, and that's not going to happen.
Because it'll hit the torrents in a little. Someone actually has to bother to buy it in order for someone to be ripped.
Well, I did see somewhere somebody actually, like, live tweeted or live blogged him watching Sonny's porno. It was pretty fantastic. He's like, this bitch is totally out of it. She's clearly drugged up. And then he started talking about how she kept looking at the camera and then talking to the guy, like giving him different instructions and then looking at the camera, telling him stuff. And he's like, nice way to break the fourth wall, bitch. So, you know, like, this is fantastic. Like, yeah. I wish I would have thought of that.
I think at one point someone says that she lets out a fart and they just keep it in because...
Oh my god.
We're doing this in one take now.
yes, you are, because.
You're already paying her $100,000 for some reason.
Is that all she got paid?
I guess so. I imagine that's top dollars.
That doesn't seem
like. In the porn world for someone who hasn't been paying, who's paying 20 years ago.
And I know I've had this conversation with either Dusty or Eric in the past, but in the porno world, you don't blow your wad the first, you don't blow your wad the first movie. You don't give up the ass the first movie. You gotta get like 10, 15 in the can, just scenes. If you want to do like a full movie, that's when you finally do that. You build your price up. I mean, she could have got a lot more money for this, unless you save it out for like the gangbang stuff, which... In today's world, that's where it's going. That guy was choking the shit out of her in that movie. I'm like, honey, that should have been like movie 7 or 8. This doesn't make any sense. She has no agent.
This is amazing.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't know. It's just sad. But no, you don't give up the ass on your first movie. Have you guys ever heard of somebody who made it past gangbang audition? No. You don't do that in your first movie. There's no reason for anybody to watch movies anymore.
Oh.
There's that. So.
Well.
We ended on that.
That was a heck of a way to send things out.
Kevin, you're going to have to go into our iTunes and change our rating from clean.
Well, that's what it shouldn't have been marked at anyways.
I was going to say, we have ourselves marked as clean? who made that mistake?
Actually, I'm not sure. We might not be. We might not be. We might be, though.
Well, for all this and more, if you ever get bored, if you ever want more of this, just listen to We Watch Stuff, where we'll probably argue about interracial gangbangs. So... All right, well, I'll check out on that. Just remember, kids, don't do anal or gangbangs on the first go-around. Bump your price up first.
That was Granny Mays. At Chris Calamita, sir, do you have any words of wisdom for those aspiring in the porn world before we head on out of here?
No, I think I think Mr. Mays has covered that quite thoroughly.
Okie doke. Well, this is for at DeFrango11 and for the brand at Stunt Granny, which really should not be rated clean at all. A filthy good drink I was having during the show, Seventh Son American Strong Ale. It is one of the finest beverages from one of the breweries here in the fine city of Columbus. If you come here, you need to try it and have a good night.